joined now by Jonathan Swan. He's a national political reporter for Axios. And Jonathan, it's great to have you here, first of all, on Mornings on the Mall. And I want to talk to you about what's going on inside the White House, because beginning last week with the firing of, or not the firing, sorry, the resignation of Sean Spicer, and then Anthony Scaramucci coming in as communications director, the promotion of Sarah Huckabee Sanders to press secretary. Is your sense that the staff of the White House are happy with the new state of the communications team?
Well, it depends who in the staff you're referring to. If you're referring to the Trump originals, folks who were on the campaign early, like Hope Hicks, some of the people in the press shop who were on the campaign, they're very happy because Anthony Scaramucci is somebody they have a good relationship with, and he's probably going to protect them. The people who are, I would say, less enthused about the situation are people who are loyal to Reince Priebus, the chief of staff, people who are working with the RNC during the campaign. And look, that division between the Trump people and the RNC people has been a constant, you know, for months and months and months,
yes,
stretching back into last year. And it's really just been exacerbated now because Anthony Scaramucci does not report to Reince Priebus, the chief of staff. He reports directly to the president. So it's effectively set up a new power center inside the White House.
That division between the original Trump team and like the RNC types, the more institutional, has been seen for the Trump administration so far as kind of a team of rivals, that you've got two competing camps. But even despite so many rumors over so many months, very few people were actually leaving the White House. And now it's at least has begun in a high profile way with Sean Spicer. What about the Reince Priebus rumors? Are you hearing anything about Reince Priebus and his chances of sticking on board with this White House?
Well, this has been the perpetual story. I mean, the Reince story is very challenging to cover because Trump, and there's just been so many people who told me this, who I trust, who speak to the president, that it can't be anything but true. Trump regularly disparages Reince Priebus, mocks him, ridicules him, says things that suggest that his political death is imminent. But then, you know, the sun rises the next morning and Reince Priebus is still the chief of staff. So a lot of people, you know, have, you know, egg on their faces for writing the story that Reince is dead. With all that being said, I don't see how it's a sustainable position where you've got Anthony Scaramucci reporting to the president, and potentially firing the dwindling number of Reince Priebus loyalists in the communications shop. It sets up a situation where it's quite plausible that Reince will have to will feel compelled to fight for his people. And if he then gets overruled by the president, it's just so, it's such a sort of humiliating situation,
right,
that I just don't know how it's sustainable.
Speaking about humiliating, we've been talking a lot about President Trump really hammering Jeff Sessions and almost bullying him, it appears, to a lot of people. Not very popular move with Congress. Do you see Jeff Sessions saying, all right, fine, I'll resign?
Well, not currently. Our reporting suggests that he is really, I've heard from one friend of his, that he loves the job and doesn't want to leave. Remember, he also offered his resignation weeks ago when this all started, and the president was clearly infuriated with him, and Jeff Sessions said, well, you know, if it would, I can't remember the exact language it was described to me the way he said it, but basically he said, you know, if it would serve you better, I'm happy to resign, and Donald Trump did not accept his resignation. So it's a ridiculous situation because they're not talking to each other. And to the extent that they're communicating, it's Donald Trump ridiculing him in public settings and on Twitter. And then you've got this sort of almost passive aggressive defense campaign from the conservative movement where they're not really mentioning Trump's name. They're just saying what a great guy Sessions is, because they're too scared to hit Trump. So it puts the base in a really awkward position. I was actually quite surprised by how hard Breitbart went yesterday. They called Trump a hypocrite because he said, you know, Sessions is weak on Clinton, and they pointed out that Donald Trump was the one, when he took over, who said that, we shouldn't prosecute Hillary Clinton. So I think the base dynamics are really interesting, and to the extent that anything might give Donald Trump pause in this situation, I believe it might be that he would feel that the base would turn on him.
Jonathan, one of the reasons I like reading your reporting, because it often gives kind of an indication of what the White House is generally thinking about their successes and the things that they need to do better on. Where do you think that they are today on the state of the Senate health bill, having the Senate pass that motion to proceed yesterday and go through this series of votes now? Are they pleased that it's gotten this far?
Oh, yeah. And look, it's way too early to say that this can pass the Senate. However, it's also objectively true that just by getting on this bill, the chances of passage improve substantially. Mitch McConnell was making an argument to wavering senators that if they don't support the motion, vote for the motion to take up debate, that they were effectively endorsing Obamacare. That was kind of a theoretical argument at that point. Now it becomes quite a real argument, because what you're going to have over the next couple of days is you're going to have votes on a series of amendments. They're basically going to try everything. They're going to say, okay, we'll vote for, we've tried the repeal and replace,
right,
and we'll do repeal and delay. We'll go through all of these options. And then you'll get to like 3 a.m. on Friday morning, right? And the conversation will be, okay, we tried all of this stuff and we couldn't get the votes. So are we going to leave the status quo in place, or are we going to pass something that is maybe not optimal, but from that perspective? So I think that creates a really compelling pitch, and the White House is very attuned to that.
And if you do it wrong, they'll wield the bally pulpit against you. Jonathan Swan, definitely please come back and join us again on Mornings on the Mall. Appreciate having you this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.